is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. We are embarking on the 10th year of the Great Shalom Broadcast. Thank you for being here. I have more ideas than ever to bring to you to help you with the health and healing of your children. Today, we are going to talk about ideas, what to do with the kids this summer. And I was going to promise you three things for each age group. I think I've got three squared. Anyway, I've just got a bunch of ideas. Right now, summer has started, and your first ideas may have run out. I know that's the way it goes a lot of times. So before I get into all that brainstorm, I want to let you know a little bit about my plans for the summer, my ideas to do with you. I promised you a youth series. And so usually this is what I do in the summer, what to do with your children, and add a little bit in for the teenagers. So I want to re-air a gaming episode. A young man gave me an interview years ago. Well, in fact, one of my first broadcasts 10 years ago, but I now know how vital it is. I think the issue is more common now than it was 10 years ago, and perhaps he was an early adopter, perhaps not, but anyway, he has a testimony to share about getting over gaming addictions, and so I want you to hear that. And I want to talk a little bit about character, so that will be one episode. And then we have a lot of practical things to do with the kids, things that maybe should be happening in school but aren't. Maybe you can have some fun with it during the summer. So maybe a little introduction to the Bible that's not happening in Sunday school or in school. A little apologetics. Of course, we did a whole series on that, so I might just talk about that or maybe not. How you can study the Bible with your kids. So just quick touch on that, a little bit of etiquette, business etiquette. And, you know, I remember back in the 80s when I was standing around with some graduating college students, and they were saying, you know, your suit that you wear for your interview is more important than your whole college education. And the group of people who were there all agreed. Well, I'm not sure if that's true. But the etiquette with which you carry yourself certainly is more important than the suit and than the college degree. Okay? And we might do something on essential oils and herb medicine. You just never know. All kinds of things that you can do with your kids. Oh, civic engagement, you bet. You bet, civic engagement. We need to talk about that, and that's not happening enough in school, and you can have some fun with it in the summer. Okay, so those are my plans, and do let me know your questions. You know, I started out, well, I really am still, this, the Great Shalom, is a healing ministry, and I was particularly interested in learning disabilities to start out with, but everything is connected with everything. I don't so much do parenting, child rearing, although sometimes I interview people. I might give you a book review, but I don't really feel that I'm called to do that. It's really believing for the success of your children. But it seems to me that the felt need is less around healing of learning disabilities today than around a complete dismay of what's going wrong. Everything is chaotic, and of course it is. And there are some structural reasons for that. Of course, some people know that their children have some physiological problems, but the physiological problems are more than half the children. It's just not so evident because the standards of the schools have changed. Lesson, and we can talk about that, but not today. I do have some scientific evidence if that comes as a surprise to you. Anyway, we are going to do something fun today, and we are going to brainstorm ideas on what to do with the kids. And first off, let's talk about principles. You know, I like to talk about principles. I think that most of us just try to get through the day, through the week, through the summer. And wouldn't it be great if we started with the end in mind? We started with the end in mind and think, what is it going to take to have a functional adult? What is it going to take to have success? What do we need to put into this child so the child becomes kind of excellent adult, son of God person that we hope for them to be? Happy, prosperous, a good parent, and so forth. And so I know that's hard because I don't know that I did that, but nobody was telling me to do that either way. So maybe just saying that is going to help. What kind of skills, more than just job skills, character skills, social skills, internal spiritual skills, and so forth. So that's the first question. What do we need to put in our child? And of course, helps if it's fun. I always liked Mary Poppins. Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And also, let's talk about making sweet memories. Making sweet memories. I think a lot of heaviness is put on that at Christmas, but it doesn't have to be at Christmas. Just, you know, sometimes even in the struggle of getting through the day, the struggle of making ends meet, even sometimes in that kind of context, you can make sweet memories. I remember when I was away from my home, rented a little place near my grandson's and was giving them therapy because of the automobile wreck, and I myself was really under some struggle to do that because I had been in an automobile wreck and didn't have a great deal of help doing that, and certainly didn't have any money because I wasn't working and was paying for that place. And it was tough, and it was hard for me to keep my affect up. Where were my friends? Where was my energy? Where were my brains? And then my grandchildren had such difficult problems, and my daughter had such difficult problems. And but I knew at the time, I was old enough to know at the time, that I was creating sweet memories. That the grandchildren at 5 and 4, they didn't know about the limitations of the situation. They just know that grandmother was playing with them all day. And, you know, I was having the problems that, you know, to just try to keep myself up, but I knew that actually I was having fun. You understand? Because of my physiological problems, because I had been in a car accident myself, and had my own life issues, I wasn't enjoying doing all that playing as much as I would have otherwise, but I know that it was fun. Oh, I get to do exercises with my grandkids. Woo! I get to read these little bitty storybooks that I just created with my grandchildren. Woo! We're going out to the apple farm. We're going to count pennies. Woo! Really, all of that's great. And I knew that I was making memories, even though for me it was a struggle. And now, what, 10, 12 years later, I think back on that as a very blessed time, and it's sweet memory for me. But I remember thinking, this is sweet memories. It is sweet memories. And we walked over and we saw the red tractor and da-da-da. You know? Wish I could go back to that time. So, everything is a sweet memory. And if you realize that, it will help you. And be sure and make some. And 3, you do want to keep them busy and learning. Because if they just hang out, they're not learning, they're wasting that time that they could be putting something in their brain, and they're more likely getting into trouble. Educators know this. You plan more than could possibly fit in so that in case something bombs, you can switch, because you don't want nothing happening. Nothing happening means pretty soon something bad will happen. Yes. So keep your kids learning and busy. And, you know, make it profitable. There's profit in all hard work, the Bible says. Well, the children's work is to develop the man that comes from that development. So, the human being. So, help, you know, give them something to work with. They are going to learn something. Better it be useful things like how to engage in society. What kind of ethics do we use in business instead of street language and, you know, entertainment that goes on in the hood. You see what I'm saying? They're going to be learning something. Make sure it's the right thing. So those are my principles. So jump into ideas. So for preschools, of course you go to the water park. If you don't have a water park, make one. Yes, a hose is a great thing. I tell you, even elementary school child, when I was, we made our own water park. We put sprinklers and we figured out how to make the hose do this and that. And we made our own, you know, there is a water slide that goes across the lawn that you can buy. But you know what? If you get just a sheet of plastic and put enough water on it, it'll work too. And ask me how I know. And so we had really long water slides, and then we had water slide races, and we had all kind of stuff. We had water art. Okay, crafts with puppets from paper bags. Get those lunch-sized paper bags, and you can paste things or paint things on it. Crafts with socks, puppets. You can take the arms of old sweaters and make worms. This could be a sewing project even for the kids. You can get needles that are plastic and not too sharp for preschool kids and all kinds of things. And they should learn to sew and they should learn to crochet. This is something that 5-6-year-old children like to do. Certainly you can start cooking with them. You might want to start with making Jell-O or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know, you've got to be age appropriate and worry about safety so they don't get burned or something. But some cooking needs adult help, but start them cooking. Yes, indeed. You want them cooking at an early age. Start teaching them when they're 3 and 4 so that by the time they're 10 and 12, they can bring you breakfast in bed. Yes. Okay. Water fun in the sink. A 2-year-old, 3-year-old, even a 4-year-old, you'd be surprised. Stand them up on a stool next to a clean sink with soapy water and various, you might have toys or might just have plastic funnels and spoons and cups, and they'll have a great time. Better it should be planned than you just find your 5- and 4-year-old in the bathroom with the hand soap doing the same thing in a sink that's not big enough and making a slop. But that's good too. Just, it's better if it's planned. And if they make a mess, then show them kindly how to clean up after themselves, because this is what we do. And I know sometimes it's exasperating, but kindly show them how to clean up after themselves, because this is what we do. Otherwise, you're going to be exasperated and have to clean up after them over and over. Yes? Okay. So sometimes these ideas overlap ages, but here's elementary school age. Yeah, I know it's summer, but how about making some crafts for Christmas? One of the most memorable times I think that my sister and I had when we were little girls was making the nativity scene. Now, of course, we had other nativity scenes in my house, but we made one, a fairly good-sized one. We used styrofoam balls for the heads, cones for the body. We had an old tablecloth. It had some texture in it, so there were some, like, little check holes in a border, so that depending on how you draped it for the clothes, it looked like that was the border on the clothes. And then we had macaroni for jewelry, and we had maybe some boxes and little some items that look like presents, the gifts that the Magi were bringing, the Christ child. And I suppose we maybe used pipe cleaners or chenille stems for the hands. And then we assembled them, and then we painted them all gold, completely gold. And we used those for years and years, and it was really a wonderful thing. Another craft project that my mother made actually came out of a woman's magazine, and they were felt. Mom cut out the felt, and we glued these felt birds together, and we put it on something. Was it the Christmas tree? I don't know. How about having another decoration for another holiday besides Christmas? You could make a Pentecost tree. Have a different kind of tree, maybe a bare limb, and make Christian type ornaments, maybe crochet them and then starch them by dipping them in a sugar syrup, or maybe take, you know, those little plastic boxes that berries or cherry tomatoes come in. Take those and cut the bottoms into snowflake shapes and cover them with glitter. Oh, anything with glitter, and the younger girls like it. Glitter is the biggest thing. Okay, so that could be Christmas, or depending on the shapes, it could be Pentecost or something else. You make make floral arrangements for Thanksgiving. Make a bunch of them for gifts. Put them all in the closet. Make them in the summer and give them away at Thanksgiving. Great idea. Okay, so crafts, all kinds of crafts. How about learning a new language? Sitting down together for 20 minutes and learning a new language and then trying it out. Oh, it's secret code. Oh, speaking of secret code, have you seen the thing going around on Facebook where the older people, the baby boomers, say to one another, oh, we'll just use cursive and it will be a secret code in the nursing home. Do you know that in many places, the elementary school kids are no longer learning cursive? Well, one of my friends said that as she was dumping all of the school papers in the dumpster at school, which is their annual ritual, I'm not part of that, but okay, she found that some teacher had thrown away a packet of cursive, how to teach cursive, and she grabbed it, and she spent a week teaching her children cursive. She said, my son is going to know how to sign his name. Oh, yeah. How do you sign your name if you don't know cursive? Anyway, hers do, so you might like to do that. Now, you don't want to make it school, so don't start this the week after school, but sometime in the middle of summer, it's a project. Don't do it too long so they get tired. Don't let them get tired. Okay. How about learning codes and spy codes? Do you know if you take lemon juice and, write with it, say like use what's that called? A paintbrush, and dip it in lemon juice and write with it, then the lemon juice disappears. But if you hold that over a light bulb, then it turns brown and you could see it. Oh, that's one spy thing. And you could give them other codes, like making a code with making three tic-tac-toe things. One is blank, one has one dot, second has two dots. Put your letters in there and you have a code. Okay, that's your beginning spy school. And then you can add to that some fiction or nonfiction, a book maybe. You could find some good book that has that theme. For older children, you might even want to find some pre-screened movies and talk about the movie. Analyze it. How realistic is this? Are there any good lessons here, or is this just a bunch of foolishness? I think that might be helpful. Maybe get Dad involved. And if you're going to do that with fiction, I mean, I could really see parents taking a new James Bond movie and talking with their, oh, well, maybe not elementary school kids, but junior high school boys, and parsing that movie out. Okay, take a newer one and pre-screen it. You might want to clip some scenes, but anyway, you see what I'm talking about. This is not realistic. And are you being manipulated? And what is good about it? What is good about this guy? He's got persistence. Okay. What is bad about this guy? Well, bosses are usually not that lenient. Okay. And then you could take a documentary about spies, about the English boys, affluent young men in college who were suckered into being spies for the Russians, and how that went badly for them, or something else. Okay. Anyway, spy, a whole spy theme. You can figure out what's age appropriate. Okay. And now for something entirely different. What about charity work? Older elementary school children really can do some charity work. For instance, they might go with you to a homeless feeding station and might be able to put food on the tray. I remember at older elementary school girl and Girl Scouts making little bags, and we put toiletry items, you know, a toothbrush, a little toothpaste, and I don't know, whatever else, little Kleenexes. And they were given away to homeless. We didn't see the giving away portion. Someone gave the troop these items, like a pharmacy or something, but we assembled them. Actually, we sewed the bags. That may be from an earlier era. I don't know how many of your girls sew, but we sewed the bags, and then we stuffed the bags, and then that went off to some needy people. I'm not quite sure exactly who. But that brings me to another idea. How about sewing? You know, a 10-year-old girl is not too young to learn how to sew a skirt. And it's a good skill. And she already learned how to crochet, right? When she was 5, 6. Okay. And similarly, an older elementary school boy could learn how to fix a bicycle. Yes. Oil the chain. Well, a girl could do that too, but it wouldn't. Anyway. Well, you know, there are a lot of camps. I want to talk about those camps. There are a lot of good camps. I saw a coding camp advertised. Gaming and coding. They mean they're going to teach young students how to make their own video games and make their own computer programs. And that's good. And in that case, you just call the number. I'm sure you just paid. There are so many wonderful camps, or were last time I noticed, that were only allocated to the children who made the best grades. And I would like to see a wider allocation. Okay, because there's so many kids who work in school but don't make top grade. There ought to be some camps that have some scholarships based on some other basis. All right, like teacher recommendation or reduced cost. Problem itself could become a project, for instance. How about writing a good letter about why it should be different? In fact, Ira Shore was an English teacher, perhaps a remedial English teacher, I believe. I may get that wrong, but he was a professor of some kind at City University in New York, and he had some students who were not able to get out of their remedial writing class, that's what it was, and go on to the rest of the program, and so he used it. They were very angry, the students. Now, these are college young people, but he used their very anger as the teaching tool, and they wrote a letter to the president why the rules should be changed. Of course, they worked so hard on that letter that they learned everything they needed to know in remedial writing and were qualified under the existing rule. But anyway, it was a good project. Writing a letter. You could write a letter to the editor as well. And civic engagement is a whole issue that we need to teach our children. It's not being taught sufficiently in school. There may be some reasons for that. But you need to teach it to your kid. And if you don't know it, find another group that does it. I did give an interview once to a group by Rick Green here in Central Texas. And I was impressed. Of course, that was for high school students. But I was impressed at the level to which they went. Oh my goodness, I'm running out of time. I'll speak quickly. Make a business. Use some software. Gary Hoover has some software to make a business. Take a trip. Take a bunch of trips. There are a lot of great places in Central Texas and probably in your neck of the woods. Take a babysitting course. Build a computer. Take a first aid course. Take a Bible course. Read Bibles to your kid. And we're going to talk about many more things. Oh, I think I can stay under my time period. Love you. Have fun. Be blessed. I pray for you. Contact me. info@greatshalom.org. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.